Yes, praise the Lord. You know, I thought I was tired, and I thought I wished I could have shoved my responsibility on someone else this morning. But I guess I have to say, with our brother's testimony from Africa, I feel like I need to repent. If he can teach the children in that condition, why, it seems like we should be able to preach something this morning in our condition, because I surely am not that bad shape. Let us turn our Bibles this morning to Joel chapter 2 for a meditation. Read four portions of Scripture, short portions here, and then go into our message. I think enough has been said this morning that I'm sure I could go home adequately filled, blessed, and inspired by what has already taken place here this morning. But I trust God can give us a little bit of a vision yet as we continue. Joel chapter 2. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The title of my message this morning is The Heartbeat of the Remnant. I feel this morning like I'm looking into the eyes of a part of that remnant. I feel like the brothers have given us a report this morning on a part of that remnant. And it's a delight of my heart to consider it and to meditate a little bit upon it and some of its characteristics here this morning. The heartbeat of the remnant. And then let us turn to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. John chapter 10. Verse 16. Well, let's see. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Hallelujah. And then Acts chapter 15, verse 16 and 17. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. The word residue there means remaining ones. That the remaining ones of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Now there are many references in the Bible concerning the remnant. Most of them have to do with a remnant of Israel. Israel as a nation went into apostasy, went into idol worship, went into unbelief, went into rebellion against God and against His law. But God had sworn to David that He would not leave His throne forever. And because of the promise He made to David, we have that given to us in a few of the prophets. Jeremiah speaks of it and a few of the others. There was a remnant that would be preserved. In other words, God was going to, when other nations turned against God, God many times cast them off and they were gone forever. In fact, today, I could even bring it down to this very day. Where are the Hittites? Where are many other people, many other nations that we think of, who at different times had some Christianity in them and knew God and knew about God and had been influenced by the presence of God? But today, where are they? Yet Israel still remains today and is a nation today, simply because I believe of some of those promises. But, and then Romans chapter 11 clearly shows us that they were cut out of the tree, of the root and of the branch. The branches were cut off because of unbelief, and the Gentiles were grafted in. And he says that the time would come when the time of the Gentiles would be fulfilled, and the Gentiles would then be cut off, and the Jews being grafted back in. So I believe in a literal fulfillment in the Scripture of a remnant of Israel. And a lot of the Scriptures that talk about the remnant talk about it in that sense. But then here in Matthew, we have concerning the straight and narrow way, and we have the word few there. And I think we can very clearly interchange that fact of the few that would walk the straight and narrow way of a remnant also. In other words, in comparison with the population of the world, there would only be a remnant or few concerning the masses that are in the world that would interest themselves to walk the straight and narrow way. And he shows that on the other side when he shows us the broad way that leadeth unto destruction, and there he uses the word many. So we have many going the wrong way, many going down the sin road, many going down the flesh road, but a few that will walk the straight and narrow way, which leadeth unto life. That is the picture of a remnant. And then in John there, in chapter 10, we have it, the heartbeat there of God for a remnant. He's saying that there's some of you Jews here that are believers. But he said, I have other sheep that are scattered over in other nations and out of every tongue and kindred and nation that I also have to bring. And I'm going to have to bring them, and I'm going to make one fold out of them, and I'm going to be their shepherd. So there again, he gives us that picture. And from what we can tell by the balance of Scripture, we are living in a day and age when it seems like we need to consider more and more the heartbeat of that remnant. Whether or not God will bring a moving great revival on the Gentile world yet before the close of age is a question mark. We consider it may happen. There is a high possibility that it will happen. But I also consider it a possibility that it will not happen. In other words, that there is the time of the Gentiles is almost fulfilled when God will again bring conviction back upon the Jewish people and the Jews will start getting converted. That's how I see it. But whether in 1990 we stand on the threshold of yet a great revival for the Gentile people, or rather a diminishing and a coasting down to such unbelief and rebellion and rejection of the principles and the commandments of the Lord, and then God giving it to the Jewish people again, we are not sure exactly how it will be. There are different scriptures that talk about the latter rain and indicate a great revival at the end, but it's a little difficult for me at least to say whether it'll be just whether that latter rain will happen on the Gentile people or whether it's talking about the Jews being grafted back in and repenting and seeing their Savior that they have crucified. But in any event, we know that there will be a remnant that will be faithful out of the Gentile church, out of this world, out of the people that are sitting in this audience and others like it. And it'll be a worldwide remnant church. It will spread its branches, I believe, in every nation, the Bible would say. Every kindred, every tongue, and every people. And it has been a tremendous blessing to be able to travel halfway around the world and meet that remnant from a place that has been in the Iron Curtain, maybe, or in the poor countries of Africa, or Asia, or South America, and find a remnant that believes their God and knows their God, and that you can sit down and have sweet fellowship with. And we notice that, and we are blessed by it, and it is something that causes our heart to beat with them. And therefore, I preach this morning on the heartbeat of a remnant, because it is a peculiar heartbeat. It is a unique heartbeat. It beats different than the norm. It beats different than the Protestants beat. It beats different than the charismatics beat. It's the heartbeat of a remnant of people that love God with all their heart, that are interested in a holy life, that are interested in many things. And we're going to look at some of the specific characteristics of that remnant bride, that remnant church, that remnant group, that I believe God is about ready to split the eastern sky, to come back and snatch home, to be with Him and inherit all the glory and the blessings that He has provided from the foundation of the world. And the challenge of the message is, are you and am I a part of the remnant church? Membership at Charity Christian Fellowship will not make you a part of that remnant this morning, but it will depend as to whether you have the characteristics and the blessings and the grace and the power that has come and is offered and given to the remnant people of God today. And whether you really, truly have a personal decision to lay hold of that which makes you a part of the remnant church. It will not mean a membership in some local body, even though that's necessary. But I see the remnant church and what God has in store for it to be wider than that. But I see a common heartbeat. I have mentioned it numerous times, but one of the greatest blessings in my life was when I traveled to Dushanbe, Russia, north of the Afghanistan border, in an area 5 hours flight from Leningrad, where I had never been before, practically never heard of before. A city of 800,000 people. And I walked into that place and into a church service that night. And those brothers walked up to me and sensed in the spirit that I was a brother and greeted me with a kiss of peace. And they asked us to share the gospel and to preach. And while we preached, the tears flowed. And there was an inner witness that bore witness in their heart and in mine that we were the children of God. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I had found some of the remnant church on earth. And it was the sweetest experience. And all of us could testify the same thing in Montana, in Africa, South America, Jamaica, and in other parts of the world, in the little bit of traveling that our church has been able to do, that we find this remnant church. And it's an exciting church. And it knows it's God. And it has the Spirit of God. And God is their shepherd. And God is their Father. And they walk with Him. And they want a holy life. And they want to serve God, like Brother Daniel said. When he caught the heart of Brother Francis and some of the brothers there, he soon identified that they were a people, though they come from ignorance, though they come from not having been brought up or trained in many of the blessings we have, yet they have a heart after God and they're going the right way. And I'll tell you, that's an exciting thing to find on the face of this earth today. And I'd like to say this morning, though where you all come from, there's no pressure on my part upon you with this message. I only say that I have noticed many specific characteristics of this remnant group that seems to group itself together. There are certain characteristics, certain things we see, certain things we find when we meet the remnant church out there, that is uniquely different from the general run professed Christianity. So I'm going to just give a little bit of an overview this morning. Just a brief doctrinal overview of or different things that I've noticed in the remnant church. We can find many people who name the name of Christ. Many people who claim all these things. But it seems as you touch hearts with them a little bit longer, or try to touch hearts, you'll find out that you run up against the wall. Yes, they have named the name of Christ, but they are not willing to walk with Him. And that is exactly what gave rise to the Anabaptist movement. Martin Luther was a champion on salvation by grace through faith. And I love some of his writings and teachings and the boldness that he had after being bound up in the grips of Catholicism for all those years. A priest himself found salvation by grace through faith. But it wasn't very long till the people who had a heart after God found out that he was only going so far and he wouldn't go any further. And that has given rise to a group of people at that time called the Anabaptists who took it further than just by grace through faith. Yes, they believed in grace by grace through faith, salvation by grace through faith. Yes, they didn't believe that the accumulation of works would merit salvation. But they believed a little further in that they believed in a faith that worked. Something that made the feet move. Something that made the hands move. Something that reached into the pocketbook and contributed to the needs of others. It was more than just by grace through faith. It was a practical life. And that's the way we sense again today. And this has happened in other parts throughout this 2,000 years of history. Yes, they had some of the fundamentals. Yes, they had some of the basics. But too many people stop too soon before the work is complete of what God wants for His people. But those that have a heart after God to get all that God has for them and to do it right, those become a part of that remnant church, that remnant group that we sense. They have no specific theology. That was one thing also said about the Anabaptists. And I see it again today. The remnant, the heartbeat of the remnant has no real specific theology. They have a book that they take practical and believe it with their heart and live it with their lives. If the Bible says, they want to do it. They just want to find out how to express it. And in that way, we notice that they don't have certain large written up creeds. They don't have specific theology. They don't have everything spelled out for them. But they have a heart in them that is after God and that wants to satisfy the requirements of Scripture upon their lives. They're not interested in the world. They're not interested in sin. They're not interested to go their own way. They really just want to serve God. Those are some of the characteristics we see that beat in the heart of the remnant. We notice another characteristic is that they believe in a seven-day Christianity. There's a lot of people today, and an awful lot, a little bit was mentioned about it before, that they get a little bit of a few drops of water on Sunday, and by Sunday night, they have already pleasured themselves out and have dried themselves up and evaporated whatever they had. But the heartbeat of the remnant today is a seven-day Christianity. They talk about Jesus on Wednesday, and they live for Him on Thursday, and they may go witnessing on Friday, but they put it into action. The heartbeat of the remnant is a Christianity that doesn't just hoopla and say, glory, hallelujah, I am saved and I'm okay and everything's fine. But rather it beats for a real Christianity. If you have two coats, you give one away. If your brother has needs, you help him out. If somebody falls in sin and asks to be forgiven, he is forgiven and he's received again and loved and accepted. In the past, among many churches, they have come up with dispensational theology in that the Sermon on the Mount doesn't fit the church age. They have told us that the Sermon on the Mount belongs down for another dispensation like the thousand-year reign. But praise God, I don't hear that among the remnant church. They don't know what that is. They take the Sermon on the Mount and devour it or digest it, I would say, and chew on it and begin to live it again and to learn to love their enemies. I'm amazed that without even ever hearing of a doctrine of non-resistance, without ever having had that in their roots, the remnant church, be it in Russia, be it in Africa, be it in Nigeria, and in South America today, cannot figure out how you can love your enemies looking down the barrel of a machine gun at them. Common sense on the basis of the Holy Spirit giving it to them by the power of God gives them that reasoning, that spiritual sense that they cannot do that. They may not have a specific theology or a specific creed as per se, but somehow they cannot do that anymore. They believe the Scripture to be the inspired Word of God. In the remnant, the heartbeat of the remnant beats for at the accuracy of the Word of God. If God says it, that's it. In the Anabaptist times, they call it sola scriptura. The Bible is the final authority of word and life. What God says, that we do. What He does not say, that we give some mercy to our people on. But when God has spoken, I remember the conflict with Zwingli. And they were debating the fact of whether they need I think it was over some of the state church issues. And some of the brethren who were of the remnant that were rising at the beginning of the Swiss Brethren there said, Master Zwingli, there's no question in the matter. It has already been decided. The Spirit of God has decided it. And that's the way the remnant, the heartbeat as I meet them over the world and in the United States today. The Word of God is their final authority. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Then we don't do it. If God says this is the way we act, this is the way we live, then they make it practical and something they can get a hold of and do. Security of the believer is strongly conditional in the heartbeat of the remnant. They've been out there too far. They've heard the people give a license for sin in the eternal security doctrine that is running rampant in America and the churches today. And as we meet as we catch the heartbeat of the remnant, we notice a change here. They say, and I heard this one time, as a young man who was very skilled in winning Catholics, and I sat beside him in a home as he was trying to win a Catholic to the Lord and listen to him. And that sinner, Catholic sinner, sitting there not having been converted before, just at the door of salvation, being under conviction, challenged that man. He couldn't understand some of his reasoning when he told him that if you get converted today, you're saved even if you go out there and shoot a man in the street this afternoon. He said something doesn't make sense even though he was unconverted. In other words, he had more scriptural sense in his unconverted state than the man who was trying to lead him to the Lord. But the heartbeat of the remnant has changed this thing around. They have seen the abuse of it. They have seen the license to sin. They have seen how men throw their ministries away and how that men throw their wives away and throw their children away and go out with another one because of this doctrine that once you are saved, you can never be lost again. And the heartbeat of a remnant has come back to conditional security to where salvation is contingent on an obedience with Jesus Christ. That you can't claim salvation irregardless of what people do with their lives and how they live. Adulterers, fornicators, and unbelievers, and the fearful and the homemongers cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. So I notice that much as we catch the heartbeat of the remnant. There is a revival of prayer. I notice the heartbat for the remnant beats for prayer. And even as a revival of fasting, I would have to say 25, 30 years ago, from at least my knowledge, fasting was almost extinct in many circles. today again, praise God, due to the diligence of some in searching the values of the scriptural fasting, books have been written, sermons preached, and there is a revival of Bible fasting. The heartbeat of the remnant once again fasts. The heartbeat of the remnant once again prays. Prayer meetings are started. Some of you heard and probably read on the death of Mrs. Prayer Meeting and that little poem that is written concerning how prayer meetings have died in the churches. And that was a very real thing in the past. Prayer meetings simply didn't exist. Whole groups of churches didn't know what a prayer meeting was. And there are still many of them today. Other places where you drive by, there may be 6 or 8 cars in the parking lot on Wednesday night. I had an experience this week that grieved my heart. The former leader of the pagan motorcycle gang came into our place of business as a truck driver this week, having been converted 5 years ago and giving his heart to the Lord. One of the most feared men in the United States that the police feared, a leader of the pagan motorcycle gang. He got converted about 5 years ago, he said, and he gave his heart to the Lord. In fact, he says he visited here one time and he enjoyed the service and plans to come back again. But he opened up a conversation with me. And that man has the scars of sin all over him. And he doesn't look very pretty from it either. But he told me that last Sunday, or I think about 2 weeks ago, he was in the Mennonite church that he attends down the road here, about 15 miles. He says, you know what my son, my 10-year-old son, had for Sunday school? He said they took him out and went jogging for the Sunday school time, and when they come back, gave him all popsicles. And that man, converted from the wretched past that he had, has more common sense than almost anyone in that entire church. Because he said, that's not the way to have Sunday school. I'm sick of it. I don't think we can take it much longer. But the heartbeat of a remnant gets rid of the popsicles, gets rid of the jogging, and brings the Bible back out and begins to teach it and to instruct its principles into the children and to show them the way to go and tell them, look, there's a life to live here. There's reality to this Christian life. Yeah, I agree. He probably for the last 15 years, the sessions were about as dry as dust in their mouth. But that's because they didn't have the living water. And finally, when the well, the cistern, that's cracked right up, then of course they have to look for something else to fill it, and the popsicles and the jogging come in and take its place because everything was too dry. They don't know what beats in the heart of a remnant. That it's exciting to hear the word of the Lord. That it's exciting to draw together and to serve God. Family altars. When I get around the remnant, I hear about family altars again. When I visit in the homes of the remnant, they gather their children around and they have a family altar. They teach their children the Bible. They teach them how to sing. They tell them Bible stories. They give them the examples of the scriptures. And the heartbeat of the remnant revives the family altar. Yesterday, in the homeschool seminar, I was helping here in the basement and listening to some of the message. And it was easy to see that and to hear that there was the remnant that was here yesterday had a heartbeat. Children, to gather them around and instruct them in the right ways of God again. The heartbeat beats for a change in the women's role. Women have gone after liberty and liberation. Only wanted 1 or 2 children and some none. And cast off the role of submission. Wanted to come to equality with the men. The heart of the remnant has been there, some of them. And have found it doesn't work. And they are on their way back. And I bless God for it. And that remnant, I'm looking into their eyes some today. And I praise God for it. They again want to be a mother. They've been out there and they don't find the satisfaction and the fulfillment of being a mother. A godly mother with godly children. And they also, I noticed, increase the size of their family. Even though in the midst of much ridicule and much opposition and being the point of jokes and so on. the remnant people increase the size of their quiver again. The devotional head covering or the headship covering in 1 Corinthians 11. For years being said it was old fashioned. It was medieval times. They did it years ago. What are you looking like? 100 years ago. The styles of 100 years ago. But the remnant church, the heartbeat of the remnant, is to wear a literal sign of submission again and to put that covering on her head and to obey the Scriptures in a clear, practical, distinct way, like the Bible taught it all along. And we notice that once again across the world, it's not only a Lancaster County tradition, but you find it in Russia, and you find it in Romania, and you find it in Africa, and you find it in South America. They once again bring out the piece of cloth and put it on their heads and fall under the submission and order of 1 Corinthians 11 in a practical way. That's what I notice about the remnant. No, not all are there. Some take a look at it. Some consider it. Some are studying it. But there's a revival among the remnant that are truly have their hearts set to serve God. Modesty in dress. It's amazing what they come up with. It's amazing what they come up with, but you can spot it in a moment. You meet them in Oregon. You meet them in California. You find them on the road from Texas. And you meet them. And only 5 minutes of meeting, you can tell that there was a distinct effort taken to cover the body and to cover the blatant nakedness that the church, so-called church, has accepted to be okay. They have defied that, and they are doing the job, let me tell you. And one of the things we notice is when they return to it, they do it right. The heartbeat of the remnant started thinking and putting some common sense into their heart. When they saw the promiscuity, when they saw the immodesty, when they saw the rape, and they said, hey, there's a reason for this. It's time to get back into God's order. Somebody wrote into, an old grandmother, wrote Ann Landers. It's in the paper last week, I think, and she said, you know what? She said, I can tell you why there's so much trouble with rape. She said, the way these women dress, it's no wonder they're asking for it. And it made her mad. About that woman responded like this. She said, the only dress that a woman needs today to escape rape is a good pair of shoes to run in. That's how she answered it. They don't want to face it. They don't want to come to grips with it. But they are causing the problem. But they are. But the remnant church knows it. The heartbeat beats for modesty and covers the body up again and escapes 95% of the problem. 95% of the problem. I dealt with a young man within the last weeks who is a school teacher in a church, in a Christian school, pouring his heart out about the problem that he has with the 17 and 18 year olds. And it's causing trouble in my marriage. Because my wife is struggling with it. Here I sit there 6 hours a day with this kind of environment that plagues me. And I'm 31 years of age, and he confessed that it does bother him some. And he has a problem all the time. But the people look at him and think, what's the matter with you? I told him very quickly, there's nothing the matter with you in general, unless you give your heart to lust and all that. But the problem is that they are dressing too provocative and are trying to excite that. They don't understand what they're doing. I said, you go home and you gather the men of the church together and tell them what's going on. Tell them what it's doing to you. And tell them to help you out a little bit. The remnant church believes in modesty. Education. Something was mentioned yesterday in one of the messages here about why Johnny can't read. Readers, based on a Reader's Digest article years ago on that was a very, very good article on why Johnny can't read. You know why Johnny can't read?
in the churches in the world today is because Johnny plays all the time. He's out in the sports programs. He's doing everything else but learning how to read. Johnny can't read because he's not taught how to read. The remnant church, the remnant, looks at a practical education again. And that's why many out there scattered all over the world have absolutely no alternative but to take their children around them and to teach them themselves, because the institutions of education have fallen so low. I'm amazed that a missionary we had here from Suriname, South America, how he taught us about his wife's childhood experience in the jungles of Africa. Her textbook, the Bible. Can she read? Yes, she can. She was taught how to read just from the Bible, reading the Bible by her father and her mother before she died. I noticed the heartbeat of the remnant is much more for practical ways of teaching trades, how to work with your hands, how to get something in education that you can use. And I also notice worldwide, I believe, that they are steering away from the more professional trades, from the doctors and the dentists and the lawyers and those kind of occupations. And they want something that is healthy, that is something you can work with your hands and work by the sweat of your brow and have it provide for your family in a right way. And I believe that's right. I believe that's also a principle in the Word of God. The remnant, or the heartbeat of the remnant, beats for separation from the world. They know in the world, in the church in the past, there has been a joining of hands between the world and the church. And the church is now the world. And Sunday school teachers and youth workers are crying a deep lamentation that they have the world to conquer and to work with. Every Sunday in their youth activities, everything is filled with the world. But the remnant draws out of that, will not let its young folks go with it, and takes a different course, as the Scripture would say. They know and interpret this Bible literally, that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. If a man love the world, the love of the Father abideth not in him. And the two don't mix. And in just a little bit of survey, my friends, you can see for yourself that it will not and does not and never will work. To mix the world in and to mix the world into the church pulls down the standard of the church and the standard of God and the standard of holiness, and you don't have anything left. One thing that's interesting to me is that the remnant church destroys its televisions. Wherever we find them, we find out, yes, 3 years ago, we started seeing what was happening with our children as they sat in front of us Saturday morning after Saturday morning and many other times, and they weren't creative, and they were just like dummies sitting in front of that thing, and we got our minds together and consider what was happening and hauled that thing out to the trash and smashed it. Yes, the heartbeat of the remnant gets rid of the entertainment programs that corrupt the children and corrupt the families. Yes, worldwide. I just for information, again, I had a copy of a standard or a church confession of faith standard discipline like out of Siberia, Russia, that was given to me by a brother who came out of Siberia 3 years before. And it was one sheet of paper, like this, just written on one side. But it was amazing that was on there. Circus, television, movies, and things like that. The heartbeat of the remnant church, way up in the north in Siberia, knows that you can't watch a television and let the pipeline of hell into your home and still live a Christian life. Absolute impossibility. And the professed church brings them in. Something's wrong. The heartbeat of the remnant is going the opposite direction. The heartbeat of the remnant thinks differently about those things. Music, likewise. One thing I notice about the heartbeat many times of these people that are scattered all over the United States is that they love some peace and quiet once again. They've been bombarded in the doctor's office and in the dentist's office and down at the grocery store and at the workplace till finally they just want some peace and quiet at home. And they turn everything off and just enjoy the singing of the birds again when they open their windows and in the summertime and sing some songs themselves, and it goes real good with developing singing at the family altar. Make your own music and joyful noise unto the Lord instead of having to borrow it from everybody else. Praise God. Child training and discipline. Just one interesting thing, another interesting characteristic of the remnant church or these remnant groups is that they bring the paddle back out again. They've tried Dr. Spock. They've tried the psychologist. They've tried to beg him and candy them into obedience. And they found out it doesn't work. So they bring the rod back. I notice the remnant church gets practical with discipline according to the book of Proverbs. I find that nearly universal. Simplicity of life. When we happen into their homes, when they invite us to their house, and incidentally, these people have a lot more hospitality than the general Christianity. You can walk into many a church today and never get invited home for lunch. But you find one of these people, they try to keep a hold of you as long as they can. They love fellowship, and they love simplicity of life. Their table, you can stretch out to add a guest, and it's a blessing to be among them. Yes, the remnant church heart beats for simplicity of life. You can sit in their living room, you can walk on their rugs, and you don't have to take your shoes off. They have a simplicity of life, a practical way to live. Bless God. Gold goes, and silver, makeup, earrings, and gold watches many times get thrown off. We had a couple here back in February, and they were one of these remnant people just finding their way out of the Midwest. And the offering basket was passed. It come in there. Here was a gold, an expensive gold Seiko watch in the offering plate and some wedding bands and what have you. I didn't know what to do with them. Remnant church believes the scripture literally when it says not the wearing of gold or apparel or putting on a costly array, but the hidden woman of the heart. And so they go after the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit and trade all their gold in on it. And I notice that, once again, there's a meek and quiet spirit. There's a revival of true mother submission. And there's a whole different spirit than the brazen and the loud and the bold spirit that is out there in the world, which is poison to our girls and mothers. But the remnant church, because it's led by the Holy Spirit, has a different heartbeat. It beats for simplicity. It beats for modesty. It beats for sincerity and common sense concerning those things. Why spend your money for that which is not bread? To spend all that money for something to adorn yourself with, which doesn't build your marriage, which doesn't strengthen your character, which contributes nothing to you. The Bible says in the Sermon on the Mount, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I notice that a characteristic, a real, true characteristic of them is really being a hungry and a thirsty people. I look at the miles they travel for fellowship. I look at the plane tickets they buy in order to be in a fellowship meeting, in order to get a weekend of blessing in their lives. And I tell you, they travel 1,000 miles is nothing to them in order to get a hold of some fellowship and some blessing in their lives. Yes, they are a hungry and a thirsty people. And the scripture tells us they shall be filled. And I believe it with all my heart. I remember Brother Reuben, I think it was your father, said years ago out in Ohio, Brother Fred Hostetter, that if God wants to bring a boy and a girl together from the opposite ends of the United States, He'll get you together if He has to haul you together in a wheelbarrow. And I believe that's the way it is with His children that are hungering and thirsting for God. He happens to meet. He helps us meet the people in some of the uniquest ways and uniquest places in the United States. We just happen on each other. How? By the Spirit of God. Because He is seeking to fill those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, they shall be filled. They are citizens, my friends, of another country. They have another home. Like Abraham. Maybe they're not strangers and pilgrims like he was. Maybe they don't dwell in tents. But on the other hand, they have their eyes fixed on another country. Praise God. Where are they? Where are they? Like someone says a few weeks ago that I met and talked about the subject, I said they're in every state of the Union. I believe they're in every state of the Union and in practically every country of the world. No, there's not so many, but they're out there. And there's a blessing to meet them. And it's a blessing to have you here. And it's a blessing to meet them and fellowship with them wherever we find them. Praise God. The heartbeat of the remnant is to return to apostolic teaching and practice, to where they find that church life doesn't synchronize anymore with Bible Christianity, with the book of Acts. It troubles them, and they're wondering why they're missing out on so much. And they're seeking after the understanding and the expression and experience of it. The church is called, the Greek word for church is ekklesia. The word means called out ones. Called out ones. The remnant church, my friends, the heartbeat is to withdraw from those ecumenical involvements, from those, many of them say, when I go to church, I come home empty. When I go to another meeting, I come home empty. What shall I do? We often hear that. What is for me? What shall I do with my children? We groan through the service, all the pomp and the worldliness and all the unnecessary things that happen. And we tell them this, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. A dear old sister walked up to me in her older years, not long ago, and she asked me one of those difficult questions about what should I do if a woman gets up and speaks in church and preaches or teaches the church. What would you do? Well, I said, I think I'd find another place to go. I think I'd find another place to go. I'd probably appeal to them to get back to the Word of God first and to obey it. But I said, if there's no way that they do that and they dishonor God's Word, I'd find myself another place to fellowship. No, we're not interested in making pieces where people are interested in revival. But if there's no alternative and they will not return to the Word of God, then be an ecclesia, be a called out one that will come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And God says, I will receive you and will be a God to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Is there a remnant here this morning? Are you a part of that remnant today? Does your heart beat with them? Are you willing to forsake the non-essentials, the frivolity, the bunch of hoopla that doesn't mean anything, and go after true rejoicing from a heart that's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus? Are you willing to bring yourself under the sweetness of total obedience to the Scripture as far as you have light to this day, and continue with an open heart to seek for more light as you go on down the road, never having arrived, never having come to the place where you have understood it all? And that's our heart here. We have not set and riveted ourselves totally to the practices that we practice here today. But where God opens us with light and shows us the way to go, our heart is to follow Him. But that is not an often changeable thing. That is something that is with much prayer and much carefulness and much consideration proceeded from. So I'm wondering whether your heart beats with a remnant. Where are you this morning? I don't care where you're from, but if your heart beats with a remnant, I'll tell you, you have brothers in Russia. You have brothers in China. You have sisters in Romania. You have friends in Africa. And this is the bride of Christ, I believe with all my heart, that God is coming back to receive us, and that where He is, we might be also. As for me and for my house, my heart beats to be a part of those people, to fellowship with them, to visit with them, and to find them wherever I can hunt them out. Because I not only plan to dwell with Him through eternity, but as much as I can, I also want to meet Him here. Because I believe that these people, because of the lonely lives they live, and where they're scattered across the world, they need each other. They need each other's letters and phone calls, and each other's counsel and support right now where they're at, that they don't get clouded over with everybody being against them and everybody thinking they're crazy and everybody thinking they're going the wrong way. What's ever coming over him? Why does he think he has to be different? And that's what these people run into. And it's a real experience out there. It's a lonely life. It's a lonely life for many. Many ask, what can happen for me way out here where I'm at? What's God going to do for me where I'm at? And it's amazing to see that individuals fall upon their knees and make it a matter of a specific prayer meeting in some of those places, that God would bring them out from other parts and make a little fellowship. And you're amazed at what happens. God supernaturally leads them to others who have this like heartbeat, and they gather together for prayer and support and a blessing of a little fellowship in a home somewhere. Those things happen, and that's the way it's going to happen. So whether or not that there's going to be a major latter rain on the Gentile world, we're not interested in debating that prophecy necessarily here today, but we are interested in being a part of that remnant group, and our heart beat with them for truth, for all of the Word of God, for practical Christianity, for a faith that works, for a faith that gives, for a faith that shares, for a faith that has true compassion on the lost condition of the world, and hospitality to receive strangers and share with them the blessed message and the truth that we have found. And as for me and my house, that's where I would like to dwell in the rest of my days. Shall we kneel for prayer? Father in heaven, God, I'm totally unworthy for the years that we have waited and searched and longed to now having seen reality in such a way like we see gathered here this morning, and where we know that they're gathered together in other parts of the country. Bless every one of them. Pour your grace out upon them, God. Help us to lift up the standard of that crowd of people that's crazy for God. That's radical. That they don't understand what's going on when all it is a simple obedience to what you've taught us. God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for my teachers. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit who has taught us a real and a practical way to live and a way to work. And Father, this morning I just pray, lay this burden upon the hearts of everyone in this room, that they go out and make two more, and then three more, and that the message of truth into a Jesus that's alive and well and lives in our hearts and delivers from the powers of sin and delivers from the pitfalls of hell and all around us and the world, oh God, I pray, lift up a standard among the people. Cast up a highway for our God. Gather out the stones, Lord, and let us walk straight past for our feet in these last and evil days. Father, help us to walk by faith on the narrow road today again, thanking you, Lord, for all your blessings that you do give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.